B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, final hour, Agenda Free Friday, which is driven by our friends at the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda free. Choose some new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com, the sponsor of Agenda Free Friday here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We come to you from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Your calls and everything from the week, anything we've gotten to or have yet to get to, it is all up to you. All four teams relevant and on the board. Anyone want to reset their thoughts before we go to the phones?
No, I don't think it's necessary. Let's go.
Okay, right to the people. Joe in Rosendale on the Bruins and their goaltending situation. Yes, Joe.
Boys, it's that season again. Hot diarrhea and warm puke. The mayor of Poop City. It is playoff time. This guy better get us to the Stanley Cup Finals or it's a huge bust this season.
Okay, Joe, I'm with you. Is there going to be a little Tuca streak down the inside of his Cooperalls come next week? Huge story. Look, he's a good goalie. They're a good team. It's all lined up for him. He's really rested. There's no excuses. We'll all see it, okay? I found it interesting, and I'll replay the cut here, how willing Cassidy has been to play up Yaroslav Halak's playoff track record and the fact that it's a tandem situation. And that this is a long way of saying, and this isn't me doing Rask bashing. This is me assessing the coach and how he feels. It is clear to me that Cassidy feels Halak is more of Rask's equal than any other backup goalie they've had here. And that Cassidy and the team, if in fact Tuca craps himself again, will be more willing to go to the backup than they've ever been. And this is just my opinion, because I think Cassidy is holding Rask's feet to the fire, which he should. I think Cassidy has been tough on Rask, as he should, because they need more out of him than they've gotten from him in the past in the playoffs. And this is just another indication of it. This happened in the last 24 hours. I don't even know what the question was, but here's Cassidy on the goaltending.
We wanted to build a good backup situation. We had it last year with Hudobin. We know Tuca's not a 65 starts a year goalie. It's just not built that way. So we have to make sure that we insulate ourselves in that area with a good solid backup. Halak came available, great guy. Good playoff resume as well. So we know we've got a great tandem there no matter which direction we go.
No matter which direction we go.
So can I just ask, we don't know exactly where or when that's from?
Right.
Why do I feel like that's from before the season?
I don't know. Cardi played it at 11. I'm like, ooh, that's a good one.
I think that was from before the year. But even so, whatever. From the beginning, it was their plan.
Why would Hardy play a cut from before the season?
I have no idea.
Can we please just endeavor to find out when that was?
Yeah, sure. Let me look.
So,
or I'll just text him.
My guess is it was the last 24 hours. Why, okay. I mean, I don't, you know, unless it just was mislabeled or something. I don't know.
Here we go. It was after the game on the goalie situation heading into playoffs.
Okay,
wow.
Yeah, it was post-game last night after Halak pitched another shutout. And Halak's going to finish with better numbers than Rask. And so Cassidy's asked about it again. And notice, he's not saying Tuca's our guy. We ride and die with Tuca. This is his team and we're ready to go. He is locked and loaded and we're on his shoulders. He's not saying, it's not like, Montreal would talk like, he's not talking how Montreal would talk if they're in the playoffs with Carey Price or, Washington's going to be with Holtby. Even Holtby had his ups and downs last year. You know, they're not talking about him that way. Cassie's not talking about him like this is Tim Thomas in 2011. We ride and die with Tim. This is, no. We had to watch Tuca's workload because he's not built for 65 starts a year. Shot. We got Halak. He came available. He had a good year. He's got a good playoff resume. We have a good situation. We have that tandem no matter which way we go. He's leaving it open. Now, he's obviously going to start with Rask, and Rask is obviously the guy. And if Rask performs to his capabilities, that's the guy, and they should go on a nice run, and it should all be good. But Cassidy, thank God, is not just going off a reputation or name or contract. He's using his eyeballs and is saying, this other guy's been just as good when he's been in there.
Yeah, he's dropped enough hints at this point to let you know he's going to have a quick hook if it goes bad for Rask.
I'm not sure they're even hints. He's pretty blunt.
So, I mean, I just watch for it. You know, if the ship is sinking with Rask in there, they're not going to go down like that. They're going to make a move and see if they can get a spark with the other guy.
I'm assuming health, right, as we talk about the Bruins going into the playoffs, is there a position you are more dubious of than goalie? You follow me? Assuming
yes.
health.
Yeah, there actually is.
What?
Secondary scoring. So, you know, wherever the right wing next to Krejci, the third and fourth line, like, those are huge issues.
Yeah. See, I feel pretty good.
They had no second. So, honestly, against Tampa last year, Tuukka was fine. Goaltending wasn't the issue in the second round. You couldn't score.
Right, in the second round.
You couldn't score.
Yeah. So I also feel, though, like Krejci's had a good year.
He has, but what if he's got Carson Kuhlman, who's just out of college?
Okay, I get that. Yeah, and I'm telling you, I acknowledge that there are personnel issues, too, on the roster.
But you mean singularly.
Of course it's the goaltending. Yeah. It always begins and ends.
The goalie could really undermine the whole thing. I mean, really.
No question. We've got Mike in the truck on Kraft. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I'm just surprised at how many people are defending Kraft. Like, I'm a diehard Pats fan, but that doesn't mean I'm going to be standing outside the courthouse picketing like he's being unjustly charged with something. It's not even like he had to pay for sex. He's a billionaire. He could do the Belichick thing and hook up with someone after
Jay. Would you stop with that? You know, there's just a whole thing that's taken hold with, you know, all the cheating scandals and all of that, this real us versus them thing. So you all play the us versus them game, and that's what you want us to do, us versus them, us versus them, us versus them. I can't do us versus them. I can't. That sort of bores me. Like, then we're not talking about any, it's just the uniform or the city, or it's us versus them. That's just too easy. There's no layers to that. I can't do that. I can tell you what I think is right, what I think is wrong, you know, and I can tell you that, and we can do that thing. And so that's what I'm doing with Kraft. I think what he did initially, walking into that massage parlor twice, is not all that wrong. I mean, it's wrong, but, you know, please, again. Everything since, the way they fight it, I find wrong. I do find wrong, and I find odious, in fact, to, you know, some of the lengths that they go to when they just can't take the hit. That I don't support one bit. One single bit. Derek in Foxborough on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Derek.
Yeah, Blake Swihart needs to be in the lineup every day. I mean, he had 3 hits and a home run. He's out of the lineup yesterday. And if they don't want to play him at catcher, why don't they move him to second base? I mean, he's a good athlete. He's got a good arm. I don't see why he can't play second base.
Okay, Derek, I'm not going to laugh at that suggestion. I'll tell you why in a second. But you've been big on Swihart and the catching thing, man.
Yeah, I just think that the real value for Swihart comes if he can actually catch. So, you know, that was the position that they anticipated him playing him when they drafted him. They tried moving around. It screwed the whole thing up. There's greater value there at catcher. I'm not saying I want him to play every day. I don't think he's ready for that. But 2 or 3 days a week? Can we see?
Well, he's catching and batting 8th tonight.
I was going to say, I would hope he is catching tonight, in all honesty. Because you look at it, there's a righty on the mound. You know, he played 2 nights ago. They're 1-1 with Swihart behind the plate. The rest of the time, it feels to me like they suck. So I'm giving you just the math of it, because Swihart's not perfect back there either. But yes, give him more opportunities, yes.
The whole second base thing, McCarthy said this to us off the air. We were talking about it, and it really struck a chord about the modern-day baseball and second base, how you can really get away with not having an elite or even good defensive second baseman. And let me explain. And we were talking this because the Brewers have played Mike Moustakas there, who never played an inning of second base in his life. Career third baseman, first baseman, whatever, DH. Never, ever played an inning of second base, is now the Brewers' everyday second baseman. And you get away with it because, A, half the time you're in a shift anyway, and the guy's in short right field, or maybe they move the second baseman to the left side of the diamond and move the shortstop over to the right against a lefty, or, you know, you just put your weak infielder on the opposite side of the infield, and half the time the only ball he's fielding is some sort of pop-up. So you hide him there, you're in shifts half the time, and on turning the double play, that's an issue, except you can't run into the second baseman anymore. You're protected out there. So it's like, you can put your crap bum fielder at second base and totally get away with it.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, defense at that spot has been de-emphasized.
I mean, the thing about the shifts is so true. It's
brilliant. It is true. Yeah. Now, turning the double play, still, you know, you got to be able to make the exchange and make it quickly. Guys get down the line. I mean, that's the big one, is the double play. But if you think a guy's got reasonable, you know, coordination and hand-eye, he can probably play it. I mean, you know, there are a lot of big second basemen in history. Like, you know, there's a lot of big guys.
And I'm sorry. Just back to Swihart. Is his bat that great that you've got to find a position for
No. But at catcher, there'd be some value there because I think Swihart can hit 265, 270 with 15 homers. And at catcher, that's good value.
Okay, Jake in Andover on the Pats quarterback situation. Yes, Jake?
Yep. So I want to hit on four quick points. One, I know it's...
Jake, I can't give you four. Give me your best two, okay?
All right. One, is there any possibility that we look at someone in the future? I know Murray's going to hate it. Jared Goff, because it seems like he might not be the guy for the Rams system. Seems like a system quarterback. Brady retires. Goff gets up on his rookie deal. Is that a possibility?
Two.
If not, if we don't get a guy in free agency, number two, why can't we draft a heavy, soft cushion of offensive linemen and wide receivers in the next 2 years so we can draft a guy like Jake Fromm to have a soft landing for the Patriots?
Okay, Jake. I think no matter how good your weapons are, if your quarterback sucks, you suck. It's really, it can help a sucky quarterback, but I think your quarterback's got to be good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Of course.
I just don't think it works that way, the soft cushion that you're talking about. Now, I'm not particularly interested in Goff. But I don't know.
I wouldn't rule it out.
Me neither. Someone like that.
He showed what he really was in that Super Bowl. He stinks.
Okay, but again, like, I don't know. You give him to Bill Belichick.
Belichick, right.
And the other thing is...
Then get Josh Rosen instead.
Yeah, but the point is, what if you don't get Josh Rosen? It got to the point where you could take a chance on Goff, would you?
I'd rather draft an unknown.
Okay, so you're a no. I'd do it.
Me too.
I would. I'd do it. And again, I watching him at times during the year, that ball over the middle, he threw that ball okay. You know, and that was sort of what Brady's game is built on.
Feels like he's taking coaching. You know, maybe the coach is overrated. I don't know. But feels like he'll take the coaching. I'm not pining for Jared Goff. Like, he's not at the top of my list. I'm just telling you, someone like that, someone who had a high profile, a high ceiling, maybe he failed somewhere else. Maybe he's had a couple years at it. But you give them the bill, and you're off and running. That's all I'm telling you. Something like that. More of your calls after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mass.
3-2 on J.D. Martinez. And he yanks that one to Chapman. On target. That'll do it. The Red Sox fall here, 7-3. Oakland wins the series, 3-1. The Red Sox difficulties on this trip continue.
All right, Felger and Maz continue. Red Sox on the board, of course. We'll have more Red Sox with Maz and the baseball reporter starting at 6. You want to restate your opening take on the Sox? I thought it was excellent.
Yes, by all means. Well, and thank you. I appreciate that. The game yesterday, to me, took the early start to a new level. Those two plays late in the game, and I say late, really started in the middle innings with Bradley and Betts miscommunicating on a fly ball that dropped in, should have been the third out of the inning, turned a 4-3 game into a 6-3 game, and then Mookie Betts trying to go first to third, down 4 runs. With nobody out in the ninth and getting thrown out by a guy who has been eliminating and erasing base runners the whole series. Okay? Those two mistakes, the second one in particular, just reek of mental, mental brain lock, stupidity, losing focus, and the kind of things that were happening when John Farrell was the manager. That's what happened when Farrell was managing.
Should send a chill down your spine.
Bad base running, and then forgetting how many outs there were, and guys, throwing balls in when there were only two outs, et cetera, et cetera.
So what's your point with that?
So my point is, if you're Alex Cora, watch out with these young guys, because they have a knack for losing focus. It happened with Mookie Betts and Jackie Bradley when Farrell was here. It happened with Bogarts. It happened with all the young guys across the board. These are the guys who will cost you your job if you let them. And he's not going to get fired this year. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that this group of young players, I don't have the utmost faith in their competitiveness and in their competitive nature. I think if you take the foot off the gas, they will be all too willing to do it. And I understand it's a marathon, not a sprint, but there's a happy medium there that they let tilt too far the other way. Time to rein them in and getting them back on the beam.
I never thought of it that way because when they get over the hump, last year, it's like, okay, this is what they are now. They are established. They are, and they're off to a slow start. There's nothing bigger than that. That's just sort of where I'm at. But Do they have the same qualities in them that they had in the previous manager? And if they're allowed to revert, will they revert? Is it possible?
I mean, I think so. I think that this is part of who they are. And again, Mookie Betts is a fabulous talent. He's not the first guy that I ever cite when I said most competitive. I'm not telling you he's a dog. Mookie's not a dog. He's a good player. And he made a great base running play the other night when he went from first to third because they didn't have third base covered. And we've seen him do that a handful of times.
Sure.
But, you know, in terms of a guy who's going to dig in and competitively fight in every game in the big games, I don't feel that way about him. I feel like he's a gifted player who is competitive, but he's not the most competitive guy on the team.
Okay, so there you go. There's the Red Sox thought. More of that at 6. More of that with you if you want it right now. Back to your calls, as promised. Chris in the car on NHL playoff seeding. How do you feel about it, Chris?
Felger, I was going to ask you about that, but 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, Neely came out in the paper, and he was, like, you know, whining about, like, he doesn't like it at all. Because he knows if they get past Toronto, if, they'll face Tampa Bay. Because Tampa Bay's going to smoke whoever. So he was whining.
I agree.
And you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, go ahead.
So I hate the whining, Chris. I hate the whining. And I hate this mentality of, oh, we got to face him in the second round. Well, if it seeded the old way, you'd face him in the third round. So what's really the diff? You're going to face that iron around before you normally would. Are they just worried about the playoff home dates? So Cam can, you know, deliver more revenue to JJ Buffalo?
You do know how important that is to them.
It is. I mean, that's basically in the playoffs, it's all off the top. It's all free money because you don't pay the players anymore. The players' salaries are paid in the regular season. You don't pay the players in the playoffs, so it's all profit. And every home game used to be $1 million a home game. Now it's probably 1.5 or more. Who knows? So that's pure profit. And if you're a GM who wants to make your owner happy, you have home playoff dates. That's why they're never going to dial it back from 4 times 7. Home playoff dates is where you make money. So for Cam, making his owner happy, going to the third round versus the second is a big deal. For us? Or for the team? What's the difference?
Yeah, you're going to have to face him regardless.
You're going to have to, if you want to win a champion.
As good as you are.
Right. So I don't want to hear that belly aching. On the other hand, I will say it has not created the rivalries that they wanted. It hasn't. You go in division, so you face the teams in the playoffs, and you face them the regular season next year, and they thought it'd be bloodbaths and competitive and rivalries, and it hasn't happened. Those Tampa games are not bloodbaths. The Toronto games are not bloodbaths. They don't allow you to have bloodbaths anymore in the first place, so what are we doing? So if it's not going to create rivalries, you might as well go back to 1-8, and maybe they will. You know, if the Bruins have the exact same road, beat Toronto, lose to Tampa, second straight year, it's going to sort of build because that's a little too rote. You need a little more variety than that. Stephen Holyoake on the NFL. Yes, Steve. Stephen. Okay, you can call us back. You know the number, babe. Mark in Boston on Rask. How do you feel about him? Mark in Boston?
Oh, hi. How you doing? Sorry.
Good. Go ahead.
All right. I just want to talk about Tuukka Rask. I know you can't stand him deep down inside, but these Bruins fans are so delusional. If you think that this guy is going to win you a Stanley Cup, it's just crazy. If you can think, you can tell me that he's in the top tier of goalies with Fleury, Rene, Matt Murray, or goalies of that caliber, Holpe. Do you think that?
No, I don't. I think he's in the next run.
It's just crazy around here. They're already doing enough road work on the Tobin. After the Leafs knock him out, they're going to have to shut it completely down because they're going to be jumping off right after that series.
Okay. I don't hate Rask with a passion.
Actually, I think him and Rene are a pretty good comp.
I was going to say, I wouldn't separate Rene from the pack,
yeah,
given how he's wet his pants in the playoffs a few times.
What was his list there again?
Rene, did you say Holpe, Murray.
So I put Holpe and Price in a different category.
Yeah.
I do.
Holpe's good.
I put Holpe and Price in a different category. Bobrovsky should be in a different category, but I don't trust the Russians. So whoever, and Murray's 1 year, you know, I think it changes a little bit. I always think Rask is in just that next 5 to 10, not 1 to 5, which is good. You know, he's good. I don't hate Rask.
I mean, Rene, though, he's just like Rask. There's games you're like, wow, and then others you're like, you're a puddle and stink. He was awful in that finals against Pittsburgh.
What I can't stand is the defense crew around him of the local media that treats you like an idiot if you think Rask played poorly. That I think is gross. And so the print media, whatever electronic media, rallies around Rask just because they think you're a knuckle-dragging moron for blaming the goalie. When sometimes the goalie is a factor. Sometimes the goalie doesn't do enough, and it's okay to say the goaltending hurt us. and they circle the wagons on Rask and turn him into something that he's not. DJ Bean said to me last night that Tuukka Rask was just as good in 2013 as Tim Thomas was in 2011. Said it with a straight face and meant it. And so now you have yourself believing things you couldn't possibly believe just because you're trying to defend the guy. Like, what's that about? Just call it as you see it. When he plays well, he plays well. When he doesn't, he doesn't. It's pretty obvious. And I just want to have the right to say he doesn't play well when he doesn't play well. That's what I can't stand. Rask is good enough to win you a cup. He's got to play to that level, though. Too often he hasn't. He has the talent to do it.
I mean, Thomas in those last two rounds in 2011 was off the charts.
Please. It was just a ridiculous comment. Jim in the car. Go ahead, Jim.
I'm glad you say that, Maz, about Thomas now, because when we were doing the run, you guys were saying we couldn't win a cup with Thomas. But put that aside, there's only two teams in the NHL.
No, see, so Al, let me set the record straight. Back then, I was a Tuukka guy. This has all come full circle. I was wrong about Thomas. I was wrong. Okay? In hindsight, we're not arguing the future anymore. I'm bad at arguing the future. I can go back and tell you what happened in the past. And that fellow was on his head. He played out of his boobs.
Yeah, he didn't start great that postseason.
He didn't. No. Halfway through the Montreal series, it was scratchy. No question. But he found something halfway through Montreal, and then that was it. And he was insane, Jim. Insane. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Falgo, I can't believe you just said he played out of his boobs. But
he did.
Saying that, I think you're wrong about Tuukka. And I'm going to throw it. I know you don't like facts, but I'll throw it out there. There's only two teams, Dallas and the Islanders, that have allowed more goals in the entire NHL than the Boston Bruins. So I don't know why both of you are saying that goaltending makes you scared. That, to me, is our strength of the team, our defense and our goaltending.
Sure, both goaltenders have been good. No question about it. You don't get to use both goal because in the playoffs, you generally don't use both goaltenders. You almost never use both goaltenders. You rely on one guy.
I hear you. But
and I know you don't like facts, Jim, or maybe you don't even know them, but Halak had a better year than Rask. If you're going to go to your numbers, they played in front of the same team against the same competition, and Halak put up better numbers. He had a better year.
I mean, the fact that the games played were as close as they were. I mean, you basically had a 50-50 split. I don't even know what the final number is for Rask. 44, 45, whatever
think,
it is?
Yeah, I think he's at 44.
Okay. So again, but the fact that they're that close, how many playoff teams actually have something like that? It's a rarity.
Okay, but it's sort of mitigated when you get to the postseason because you don't platoon goalies in the postseason.
No, I understand that. But I think what I'm saying is that the fact that they even did it in the regular season tells you that they have to manage Rask and, you know, they have less confidence in them in the regular season than they do other goalies.
I don't know how more reasonable I can be about it. Rask is your number one. He has the talent to win a cup. What more do you want? What more do you want me to say? I mean, good God. He has to prove it. He has to show it. So let's see. We will see. It'll be right there in front of us. Here's Murray's update, then we're back.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
One more segment of your wonderful phone calls here on Agenda Free Friday. Then we have Fresh, Mad Mike, and Squeaky Maz, from what I understand. Oh, just Squeaky, I've just been informed. Hold on, this just in. It will just be a Squeaky. As usual, lots to choose from. Maz came in hot one of these days. Was it that Tuesday or Wednesday, Murray, that Maz was all bent out of shape?
Yeah.
That was tremendous.
Well, it's baseball's back, everyone.
I had a couple of those.
There's a lot to choose from. So that'll be Squeaky at 5:55. Also, when hosts aren't listening, I assume, Billy, did we grab that? Because that was a pretty classic case.
Soon to be renamed. When Murray's not listening.
Right. Your phones until then. Ibby in Woonsocket on the NBA. Go ahead, Ibby.
Felger, Maz, Murray, what's up, guys?
What's up, babe?
I was calling to see who you guys have for the MVP and Rookie of the Year race.
Okay, in the NBA, I don't give two poops. And I'll tell you this as a Bucks fan, as a big Bucks fan. I don't care if Giannis gets it. I don't want him to get it.
He's going to get it.
And it's bugging me that it feels like he's playing to get it. In other words, he's got a little bit of an ankle thing.
Yeah.
Where they thought they were going to shut him down. Nope. Nope. He's come back and he's playing well. And he went off last night in Philadelphia. And now it's over. Now they've clinched the best record in the NBA.
Shut him down.
I'm not sure they're going to. I think he wants to play to the wire to get the MVP. It's like, what are you doing?
Well, I think it's already over, right? I mean, don't you, like...
Last night, he essentially locked it up, the game that he...
When I say it's already over...
Is that what people think?
Well, yeah. I'm just saying, that does a meaningless game change anybody's mind?
The Bucks have never won 60 games as a franchise. Something like this. Or they've only done it once or twice in their... You know, they're going for 60 wins. Which, like, why? Who cares? If 60 wins gets you home court, then 60 means something. But you already have home court. It's over. It's over. Shut them all down. What are you doing? I don't care if they win. I could give two poops about the MVP. I want championships. So, like, I don't care about that. But is that pretty much the consensus? It's Giannis over Harden?
I mean, I'd say if you asked someone in the middle of the year when Harden was rattling off those consecutive 30-point games, that Harden would have been the guy. But the way it ended, and then, you know, I think it's the freak.
Okay, who's the rookie?
I say Trae Young. He's been better than Doncic over the last, like, 2.5 months. I know he started off slow. Most people are going to end up going with Doncic, but I think that Trae Young should get it.
I go Doncic. I mean, that guy can play. He can play, and he makes other people better. Dallas is going to be good.
Okay, couple.
They're going to be good.
Couple thoughts on the Celtics tonight. It's a big one. It is. Mark and Shrewsbury. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, this game's huge. We got to get that home court. I mean, we can't win on the road very well. We got to get that home court in the first round. I don't care if it's White Bread, Murray, whatever. we just got to get that. We got to get that home court.
I'm sorry. I'm with you. I think it's important for the whole big thing, but let me add Matt in Framingham. Go ahead, Matt. How you doing?
Hey, on the rookie of the year, I just want to say I was behind the glass. Sue called it all the way. I want to talk about the Celtics and Kyrie. And this guy, he's like the T.O. of the NBA. I think that he's a cancer to this team. You seen the way the young guys played last year. And I think Brad Stevens, he has a problem with the superstars. I think he coaches better when he has the young guys, Gordon Hayward, of course. And another thing, Gordon Hayward, every time he scores 15 points, is the whole city going to go crazy? I just don't get it.
Yes, because Baby got his minutes and his shots. Bay. What did Gasper say before? Bay needs his shots?
Yeah, I forget what the hashtag should have been that he said.
Anyway, yes, Kyrie's been a problem this year. Stevens did not do a good job handling him. I mean, that's part of what has happened this year. There's no question about it.
They're still better with him than without him, though.
They ultimately should be better with him than without him. That's true. Your chances of winning a championship are much better with him than without him. But they haven't been better. If we talk in the past tense, they haven't been better without him or with him. They've been better without him. That's a past tense comment. That's just a fact. They've won at a higher level when he has not been there. But if you project into the future, hard to imagine you can win a championship without him. Okay, so like I get all that. Let's see. You know, again, this whole thing about you need Kyrie, that better translate to the playoffs. I'm going to want to see that if I'm the Celtics.
Oh, you'll certainly need Gordon Hayward to be playing the way that he's played, too. So in a kind of twisted way, you need Marcus Morris to stay hurt and maybe Jaylen Brown a little bit, too. No, seriously.
Like I'm not kidding.
There's, you know, Chris said it, too. There's definitely a correlation there for what as well as Hayward has played and those two guys being out. They're, without question, he's been a more confident and free player because those guys aren't breathing down his neck for more minutes and taking away his time.
I mean, I'm hoping this gives Stevens the impetus to just make the move. Start Hayward and be done with it.
Or shorten your rotation. And I've said this all week. Maybe it's not even just a Kyrie thing. When they've had fewer bodies, they've been better.
Yeah.
No matter who's been out, they've been better. It's been cleaner. And it just shows they've had too many mouths to feed. So, but Kyrie particularly. So, Kyrie, major pain in the ass, Matt, I agree. If he elevates you and takes you to a certain level that you couldn't get to without him, then he's worth it. But if you're going to lose in the first or second round after going to the conference finals without him, what's really the point? I mean, really? Just the projection that you're going to be better with him, but you've never seen it on the floor? I'm not for that.
I know this has been said before, and we saw it again the other night, but if Stevens can get Kyrie to buy into the idea of running the half court through Hayward, bringing Kyrie off of screens, and then use Kyrie to score at the critical times when you need a bucket, that's really the ideal setup. Particularly at the end of the game, you need Kyrie, fine. He closes. That's what he does. But if you can run the half court through Hayward, I think they're better off.
Matt in the car, what do you got for us?
I'm excited about this Bruins playoff run because although our goaltending is hovering slightly above mediocrity, I think our top line scoring can definitely propel us into a deep run.
I'm sorry, Matt. What's hovering slightly above mediocrity?
Our goaltending.
No, your goaltending's been good. Your goaltending's been good. Both guys have been good.
Solid, but not playoff worthy, in my opinion. I mean, look at Tuca's performance in the past.
If you're a Tuca doubter, that's fine. But this year, the goaltending's been good. That, you know, you should put that in your column. But I understand. You're talking about Tuca.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So I understand the doubt. I understand the doubt. He's been shaky in a lot of playoff series, but the talent is there. And the goaltending should be a check. Like in the first round against Tampa, you go the matchups and the check mark. The check mark.
You mean Toronto?
Toronto. Yeah. I'm sorry. Toronto. Has to be Bruins.
Yeah. Look, I was just looking it up. Team goaltending now. Team. Bruins are fourth in the league in save percentage. It's the goaltending this year was good.
It's a strength.
Yeah.
So
now the goals against thing ends up being about the team a little bit more, right? So that's why. Yeah. But save percentage, fourth in the league.
So goaltending is a strength of the team. It has to be that in the postseason. This is my point. To say their goaltending's just been average, it hasn't. It's been excellent. But that's not the end of the story. It has to be excellent when it matters. And this has been the problem. Rask has put up good numbers before, and he's been an excellent goalie. And then you get into a series, and it's like, you need to elevate a little bit with everybody else. And he hasn't in the past, always. Sometimes he has. But that's what their goaltending has to be elite in the postseason. Mike and Athol on the Bruins. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, just following up just real quick on the format. It's not what I called for, but it's come up a couple times. The problem isn't that they have to play Tampa Bay in the second round. It's just that they have to go through the top three teams in the East to reach the finals. That's some, like, eighth seed stuff. That aside, two X factors that I have in this playoff series, in this playoff run. First one starts with that second line. David Krejci is the only active player in the NHL that has led the postseason in scoring twice. And if they're going to make a deep run, he has to be on that level of play. Again, him and DeBrusque, especially with Tampa, they have two very good D pairs that can shut down top opposing lines. They have to be on their game. And then in the back end, Brandon Carlo. People forget Brandon Carlo got hurt in the very last week of the season last year. Really hurt them come playoff time as far as deployments, especially when they're on the road and you have to play your second pair D against the top line of another team. Having a healthy Brandon Carlo, if he's playing at the top of his game, really gives the Bruins a lot of options in how they deploy their D, especially against a team like Tampa, which is just...
Huge factor. I'm just going to cut you there. Huge.
McAvoy, too, for that matter. He wasn't right in that first round against Toronto last year.
Last year, McAvoy came back from that weird knee injury at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Wasn't the same.
Krejci certainly wasn't, and Carlo wasn't even there.
But just on the D. McAvoy came back from that injury, wasn't the same. Carlo wasn't there. Didn't Krug get hurt in the Tampa series?
Yes, he did. Yeah, he broke his ankle. That was at the very end, though.
It was at the very end, but he went down at the end of that Tampa series.
Yeah.
So, a whole different kettle of fish this year.
No, totally. The big ones to me are McAvoy and Carlo. Because, you're going to lose defensemen during the playoffs. You just are.
Yes, you are.
You're not going to make it through. The game's too physical. It's too fast. They're going to get killed. And one of those little guys in particular is probably going to get destroyed at some point. But if they can keep Carlo and McAvoy and Chara out there, those three, they should be all right.
Mike and Franklin, what do you got for me on the Bs?
Yeah, hey, listen, I think Cassidy's a different kind of Bruins coach, at least, because he's really merit-based. And I think with when it comes to Rask, he's a goalie, right? I mean, he's a little flighty, but he's not weak-minded. He's definitely going to be able to handle the pressure. And if Cassidy has to take him out for a game or two and put in Halak, I don't think Tuca's going to fold. I think he's going to step back up. He's been doing it for 7 or 8 years. And, he might have a bad game. He lets in a couple of goals, but he is solid long-term. And I think this might be the first year that the Bruins actually kind of break the mold. They don't platoon, really, but you're going to see Halak for a couple of games, and I think Rask will respond.
So, I mean, look, you're putting a lot of – that's a big projection there. I mean, you're going to see Halak for a couple of games just to see him? That's not the way it's going to work.
No, he said himself at the beginning of the call, merit-based. It'll be merit-based at goalie.
But here's the Rask is going to have to crap himself for you to see Halak. Period.
Okay, but you get a start somewhere. Meaning? But if he doesn't, but if Rask doesn't play well, he's out.
I would agree. Yep, he'll be out. But it's not like, Halak's going to get his couple games just because they want to keep him fresh and get Rask's attention. No. The bad news is if you see Halak, it means that you've given away games.
Yeah, that guy got that part wrong.
And you're in trouble. It's not like you're not, he treats it like, yeah, we'll be able to manage the goaltender thing like some sort of position of strength, like you'll be in command the whole time. No, no. If you see Halak, it means things are bad. It means things are bad. And okay, I mean, then you make the move, you make the move. But
Which is why Cassidy, it's interesting to see how, it'll be interesting to see how quickly Cassidy puts that finger on the button. He's not going to wait. He's not going to pull Rask in the first game unless it's 6-0. Okay, like, fine. But if Rask has a bad game in the first game, he'll get the start of the second. And then if it's not good, bye-bye.
Okay, we've got the baseball reporters with Tony Maserati coming your way at 6 p.m. Coming up next, though, we have the final word where we have fresh, squeaky Maz as determined and a little when hosts aren't listening, Felger Maz. And the final word comes your way right after these words.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
What do you want to start with?
What do you want to start with, big boy?
I'll put off the...
Get out of the way.
Yeah, all right, fine.
The Band-Aid.
My face is already hot thinking about having to hear this again.
Yep, time from when Murray's not listening.
Yeah, all right, let's just get to it.
And now, how to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
Remember the comment Dolan had after he was ridiculed for banning the fan who told him to sell the team, and he banned the guy at Madison Square Garden. And then he went on the radio and basically was like, well, the feedback we get from prominent players is, I mean, come on.
Yeah, he says, we're going to have a good offseason. I can't say anything to these agents when they come up to me, but trust me.
Yeah.
We're going to have a good off. Like, he basically all but said it.
And go back to that interview James Dolan had on Michael Kay's show in New York a few weeks back. It was the only coherent thing that he talked about when he had that. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I really just miss that?
Yeah.
Thank you all.
I just said that. This is great. I've never been part of one of these, and I'm so excited.
Oh, Chris. 5:55 for the final word.
I truly hate all of you.
Holy cow.
That was great. I've never been a part of... all the years... I've been on the show for 10 years, and I've never been able to be part of that. This is so delicious. Thank you, Jim, so much.
That was a batting practice fastball right there. Like,
holy... That was Chris Sale, 88.
You don't get a more clear-cut example than that. Wow.
I think we should change the name of the bit to When Murray's Not Listening.
This has been How to Tell When the Hosts Aren't Listening.
And what gave it extra points is the enthusiasm with which you put on the table. Like, how about this, guys? Yeah. You haven't heard this,
have you? Don't forget this!
Yep.
Good job, Murray.
Excellent job, Murray.
Man, maybe that CBD is doing...
I was going to say, what the hell is this thing here? I got the little vape pen next to me here.
I saw that
thing.
Don't blame... That's not mine.
But it says CBD on it, so this is like...
Who the hell brought that in?
I don't know. It's been sitting here the whole time.
I can guess.
I take the lozenges when I go to sleep because they help me sleep, but I don't know. Maybe they're affecting my brain a little bit much. But that's not mine. Don't put that on me.
I'm just saying. Uh-huh. This was here.
Okay. It's got initials on it.
Let's wrap it up. I got customized...
PJM.
initialed pens. All right. Time for Squeaky Maz put together by Hardy. Anyone want to guess on what
it's God.
About?
It's blah, blah, blah. Has to be.
I was hoping Boris, but I don't think that's it.
It is not Boris.
Oh, no. So it's the guy that didn't like them starting on the road.
There it is.
Adam and Lowell, what are your thoughts on the Sox?
Yeah, the losing streak stinks, but no, it stinks more. Who the hell put this schedule together? This is another reason why baseball's dying. Defending World Series champion Red Sox. Who are we matching up with? Round to bat. Let's go. How about the Mariners? Yeah, sure. And then let's send them to that dump of a stadium that Oakland calls a stadium. What a disgrace. So whoever put the schedule together, you're the reason baseball died.
I think you're a baby. Oh, we have to open out West. What, you don't want him to go to the West Coast? You want him to play every game at home? Is that the deal?
Baby, baby, baby.
I think you're a baby. Baby, 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 baby.
Baby, baby, I'm on a...
Oh, they have to open on the road on the West Coast. Who came up with this schedule, defending world champs? What do you think? They waited for the whole thing to end and they made the schedule? Is that what they did? Too bad! How about just... What was your record on the road last year? Because you don't look at that. Too bad! Too bad, you big baby! West Coast. Oh, wah! You people suck.
That was a strong response, Anthony.
Hmm. I just don't like the whining about the schedule.
No, obviously.
First series of the year. Really, we're going to whine about the schedule? Like, that has somehow contributed to the fact that the Red Sox have their heads shoved way up there, way up there.
We're not doing it on the baseball reporters. Can tell you that. What do you got coming up, Maz?
Okay, we're going to talk about yesterday's loss. As a lot of this happened while we were on the air yesterday. So, you know, naturally, we're thinking on the fly. We're not thinking clearly. And something struck me on the ride home last night about the Red Sox performance yesterday. We'll start there. And I want to get into more detail about the miscommunication between Jackie Bradley and Mookie Betts on that fly ball in the fourth inning that really was a decisive play in the game. And we'll play the post-game comments from those guys as well, because they are interesting, to say the least.
Okay, excellent. Maz comes your way in 90 seconds without commercial interruption. Thanks for Billy Lanny filling in back there, and everyone else back behind the glass. Everyone have a great weekend. Maz Murray.
You too, Mike.
Bye. Good weekend. We'll see you Monday. Bye-bye.